Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
More free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air, and we're glad you're with us. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bank Course Studio right here at Oak Grove. Bob and Kelly, opening segment of the show, sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pick. Great place for a family meal. And I got an idea. Baseball's just about a week and a half away. Cater opening weekend at Dickey's Barbecue.
There's also, I hear tell, a big football game this weekend that I won't be watching, but I hear a lot of other people might be.
You know, honestly, I'm about as least interested in this Super Bowl as I have ever been.
Well, I didn't even say the SB words. Yeah, you did. But
all right, opening segment sponsored by Dickey's, and they are a great place to cater your next meal. We're going to talk a lot of baseball today. We're going to hear from the favorite players of Kelly Sander, pitchers. We're going to hear from Colby Allen and J.B. Middleton later in the show. But right now, we want to bring Scott Watkins from the Biloxi Sun-Herald on the show. Great sports writer, contributor to the show, Troy graduate. And that is the reason we're bringing Scott back on today. All right, Scott, I'm going to give you an opportunity to explain yourself. Everywhere Kelly and I turn, all we hear about baseball, Troy. Troy's going to be the best team in the Sun Belt. Troy's the number two ranked mid-major in the country. And they seem to forget about the team that's won the conference championship 2 years in a row. All right, now here's your chance, Scott. Give us the spill for your alma mater. Why should we buy into all this love for Troy baseball?
So it's easy to kind of jump to this, and because Southern Miss is ranked, and I want to get it out of the way. I think Southern Miss should be ranked preseason, but I also think Southern Miss is very comfortable not being ranked preseason.
Correct.
That's kind of why we have this uproar over Troy. We forget that 8 or 9 months ago, as a collective, as a Sun Belt base, we were kind of perplexed that Troy was not a tournament team. And we all kind of had this agreement that Troy – last year was better than it was the year before when it was a tournament team.
All right.
We've kind of forgotten that. And they've returned a huge chunk of that production from last year's team. And this is the big one, they've added the flashy transfers from the SEC. And that's not something that Southern Miss does. That's not something they have to do. But when you return, you know, multiple big-name pitchers and you return big bats in the lineup, and then you throw in some SEC guys that these sports writers at D1 Baseball and Baseball America, they know, that's where you get the media darling that is Troy this season. Okay. Are they going to be that team? I don't know, but I think that they are at least worthy of like top 25 consideration. But again, I think Southern Miss is too. So I think everyone is right in this argument.
I think the SEC transfers in football for Southern Miss didn't work out all that well.
Right.
You know, so I mean, I hear you. I hear what you're saying, Scott, about the SEC and the allure of that. But the reason they weren't maybe playing at some of these other schools is maybe coaches overshot, or that they just weren't the players, you know, that they thought they were.
Yeah.
But also,
play the game.
Yeah, that's right. And to be fair, I think a lot of the problem is not so much with Troy, but I think a lot of the voters in these cases looked at the very department, Bob, that we're going to be talking to later on. Is the Southern Miss was depleted in proven starting pitching. And I think that's where it starts and ends.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to be just fine. But I think Scott's points are well taken, too.
Go ahead, Scott. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's what they've gotten wrong, you know, 3 out of the last 4 years. is that, you know, where's the proven starting pitching at Southern Miss? And that's always the reason why it's not preseason top 10, and then you get to week 15 and they're top 20 every single time because of that pitching. And so I think that there's just not enough being taken into the fact that, you know, Christian Ostrander, he's going to produce great pitching year in and year out, and you just kind of have to accept that. This is no longer a developmental landscape, and I get that, but, you know, and they're always going to take the flash. But I think you still have to put the stock into the credit, or, you know, put the credit into where it's due. And I think that that's what's missing at Southern.
Well, I'm being facetious with you about picking at you about your alma mater. I watched all four games between the two schools last year, and every one was right down, right down to the wire, including that tremendous game in the tournament where you almost had sympathy for Troy. I mean, the truth is, in that tournament game, Troy pretty much outplayed Southern Miss for eight innings, Scott. And then Southern Miss caught them, as they do to a lot of schools, in that last frame. But Troy definitely brings a high-caliber program into the league this year. I'm going to say Troy, Southern Miss, Louisiana, maybe Coastal, but I'm not sure about Coastal. Troy, Southern Miss, Louisiana, in no particular order, your top three?
Yeah, I think that's it. Georgia Southern sitting on the outside. That's probably it. I think Troy, Southern Miss, in either order you want to put it in, are definitely your top two.
Georgia Southern, with Rodney Hennon, consistency at the coaching position at Georgia Southern, they've made upgrades.
You can't overlook them, that's
right,
for sure.
They've put a lot of money into that baseball program, so I agree. And Georgia Southern's been a regional team. You know, the last they've been very good. So there's no reason to think they're not going to be again this
year. Scott, we can't agree on this, right? After the basketball season that we're all observing, Sun Belt baseball will be a couple levels better than Sun Belt basketball, yes?
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah, the Sun Belt baseball is a cutthroat. It is a vicious, vicious league. And I think the bottom of the league is going to continue to improve this year as well, and that's something that I'm excited to watch for. And you look at, like, Marshall and Arkansas State and whatnot. That's going to make the league better. Sun Belt basketball, I'm going to be honest with you guys. When you texted me to be on the show to talk basketball, I was like, wow, I have checked out. There's nothing to watch.
Bill, please, right? Can I get the tab? But if you are Commissioner Keith Gill, while you're on that subject, Scott, if you are Commissioner Keith Gill, that's been a thorn in his side for the last two or three years, and he talks about it every year at his Sun Belt, you know, the State of the Sun Belt address. He talks about how basketball has got to improve. Well, we've heard that for 3 years, but what can you do to wave a magic wand to make basketball more competitive when it's a one-bid league, and clearly right now the only team that's got a shot at even making the tournament is Arkansas State, you know, the team that's even proven they might be worthy. So how do you make the league better in basketball?
The first step is winning a tournament game, and that brings a lot of money to the league. And that is where you saw that first bit of action from the Sun Belt, with that wild and wacky tournament bracket that we're about to see here exactly 1 month from now. That is designed to put the best team in the tournament, which is something that the Sun Belt has struggled mightily to do over the last 5-10 years or so. That's the first step. And once they do that, you know, win a tournament game, the money starts coming in. Better players, better coaches. Follow the Arkansas State model. Go get a disciple of Nate Oates or something, and just revitalize whatever program it is. You know, it's whether it's Marshall or Old Dominion or Southern Miss or Louisiana, somebody. You know, you have to take that young gunner coach that is a high assistant for some top 25, some top 15 SEC team, hire them, and build it from there. Those are your two steps.
So you like the way that the Sun Belt has restructured the tournament, where the top two teams automatically jump to the semis?
For the Sun Belt?
Yes.
That is the best way to do it for the league. And the Sun Belt's not the first conference to do something like this. I can't you know, name it off the top of my head, but this isn't unique. It's rare, but it's not unique. And so I think that right now for this league, this is the best option.
So Arkansas State, clearly the class of the league, Scott. I guess you would we never know for sure, but we would suspect that they have to be the heavy favorite to win the tournament and get that one bid.
Yeah, for sure. And even so, the way that it's shaken up right now is you're going to have an incredibly competitive semifinal and quarterfinal round, because you're not just looking at Arkansas State and Troy kind of just sitting there. I mean, you're looking at South Alabama being up there and App State and James Madison. So it's going to be – there's still going to be some really, really good basketball at the end of that tournament.
Man, there is some real head-scratching going on. And you mentioned South Alabama, Bob. This is a team that got swept by Louisiana Monroe.
Yeah.
I mean, that right there, you're scratched off half the women's lists. All right, they're not going to go out with any guys.
Right, get swept by Monroe, yeah.
But then they go in and beat teams that they're not supposed to beat. This is a big one coming up tomorrow night against App State, because App State's playing pretty well right now. Defensively, sometimes they're a little suspect, but don't be surprised if the Mountaineers are up there in one of those three or four top spots.
Right. So, but it's Arkansas State's to lose, right, Scott?
I think so.
All right, before I let you go, I'm going to remind you, if I'm wrong, you can correct me, but I believe the last Sun Belt baseball series of the year prior to the tournament is Southern Miss at Troy, and we will be sure to get you – well, you'll be on the show before then, obviously, but we'll be sure to talk to you that week, Scott Watkins.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Scott Watkins from the Biloxi Sun-Herald. He ain't giving up on that Troy stuff, is he?
It's weird how the schedule makers always seem to do that, don't they? That it always comes down to that last weekend.
Well, they can get all the love, but as you and I were talking in my office, we are their daddy.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
I'd right, have a little fun with Scott Watkins down on the Gulf Coast at the Biloxi Sun-Herald. He's a Troy graduate, Kelly. He's not giving in, is he?
No, he's not. And of course, what would you expect, right? I mean, he's got a job to do to keep it right down the middle. But when push comes to shove, he's going to be wearing those Troy colors that weekend, I would imagine.
Well, there's no question. They got a good ball club.
Yeah, and really, you know, we were talking about how strong the Sun Belt is in basketball and how it's just going to be completely opposite in baseball. You got the sixth or seventh place team in the Sun Belt Baseball League that can hang with, you know, a game or two here with the top team. Yeah. So it's going to be a lot more competitive.
My man here took some heat last year, imagine that, when he said that the Southern Miss baseball pitching staff would prove to be as good as any they had had. And everybody, in the end, Kelly proved to be right. By the end of the year, they had a great, great pitching staff. We're expecting the same this year. Talk to a couple of those kids that are going to be big, big parts of that. I want to play the interviews, then I'll get Kelly's comments about not only these players, but and the role that they may play on the baseball team, but just college pitching overall. Here's the first one. Here is a kid that we think may very well be a weekend starter, but if not, a very important reliever, Colby Allen. All right, Colby Allen on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. And Colby, you had a great year last year. You just became such a valuable piece in the pitching lineup. What are your expectations and hopes for the new season?
Man, I expect to do the same thing as last year. Fill that zone up, and if they hit it, they hit it. And if they don't, that works even better, you know. I'd put all my trust in just throwing strikes, and you know, they have a little tough time hitting me more than I have to throw strikes. So it's kind of easier on me than them having to hit me, you know. But no, try not to expect too much. You know, you expect too much, put a little too much pressure on yourself, and it can kind of fade and get onto you a little bit. But I just go in there and just try to fill it up.
You had one of the great lines last year of any interview we did when you said, if you start throwing balls with Coach Oz, bad things start happening.
That's exactly right. I kind of figured that out last weekend. You know, I had a little struggle with command, probably the first time really ever in my career, and it makes you kind of go thinking. But no, if you throw a lot of balls pretty consistently with Coach Oz, it's going to be tough to get back on that mound. I mean, that's the truth, though. If you can't throw strikes, it's going to be hard to pitch anywhere in the country, any level.
All right, you were a valuable reliever last year. There's a lot of talk that you could very well be one of the weekend starters this year. Can you tell us anything about that and how you feel about that?
I feel good. I was kind of in the starting role, I guess you could say, in the fall and spring of last year in the inner squads. Just kind of, I knew I was going to get lengthened out in the bullpen. So I didn't really change my mind or mentality, I guess you could say. I just kind of attack it as a one pitch at a time type deal. I think if you kind of put too much pressure on, I got to go six innings, seven innings, it's fourth, fifth inning, you're going to be like, oh, goodness, in dugout, you're going to be getting tired, you know. You just go through one inning, one pitch, and you just don't really – I try not to think about it. I think I'm a little different than most guys. I think most guys they change their mindset with starting and relieving. I really don't think it that way. I just kind of go out there and try to do my best.
All right, do you have any preference for what Colby Allen would prefer to do?
I like both. I do. I like getting out there in the big moments. Obviously, weekend rotation, that's going to be a pretty big moment. And then, obviously, the back of the bullpen. I mean, I had 10 wins out of the bullpen last year. I had 12 decisions, actually. But it's some pretty big pressure, and I like it. I mean, I think that makes me pitch better.
Now, there are a lot of new pitchers on this team, a lot of young pitchers. Tell our listeners what you can tell us about what you're seeing out of these kids and how you think they're going to be able to help some of the vets like you.
This is obviously one of the best freshman pitching classes that I've seen since I've been here. I mean, I've only been here for 2 years, and last year was kind of different. Then my freshman year is really different, but these freshmen, I think we got 10 or 11 of them. I mean, they're all really good. I mean, they put pressure on us older guys. Even we've been here 2 or 3 years and we've had really good years. They come in here and they're throwing strikes. They're throwing 92, 93, 94, you know. I mean, they're filling up the zone. And they're putting a lot of pressure on our hitters, I can tell you that. We're going to be that freshman class is really special. It really is.
Colby, in an era where there's so much transferring and so much NIL and portal, all stuff, This team has been remarkably resilient in holding all of its key players. Why is that?
I think that goes back to Coach Oz and all the coaches recruiting the right guys, you know. None of us are really thinking about money. None of us are really thinking about transferring. We come here for a reason, and that reason is to win ball games and become a really close brotherhood. I go back home and I talk to a bunch of buddies at different universities, and they kind of ask. I mean, we kind of pick each other's brains about each program, you know, just trying to see how it is at different places, you know. And man, they have nothing like we have. It's kind of remarkable how they win all these games, have all this. I wouldn't go there for nothing. This place here is something special. It really is. I pulled up and I was talking to Coach Oz and Coach Bradford the other day. I came back. It's just 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I got out of my truck. It's just something different there, here, you know. Man, it's an awesome place. I wouldn't trade this for nothing. I try to tell people when we're recruiting guys and they come on visits, I tell them, like, hey, man, yeah, other places might have this, other places might have that, but this place here is awesome. It's a true brotherhood, and it's a true family.
I've always observed that guys that play baseball here remain brothers long after, that it's quite an exclusive fraternity, for lack of a better term.
It is. That just explains our program, you know. I feel like other places have no clue what that is and what it's like. I'll be in some of the guys' weddings here. They'll be in my wedding, you know. I'll talk to them every day. They'll be my best friends. I mean, I got a good buddy, one of my best friends, Drew Drunkenmiller, was here last year. Had no idea who he was until August of last year. Now he's one of my best friends, being my wedding. You know, it's awesome. It's a true brotherhood. It really is. You come close with these guys.
Enormous expectations. I have people asking me every day about baseball. What do those expectations do to you guys? Do you embrace the expectation of excellence?
We do. We put the target right on our chest. We try to put numbers on that billboard. And, I mean, practice every day, games, you got to work hard. If you don't work hard, you'll get passed up by somebody else. And I think that's what makes Southern Miss is we work hard and we put that target right on our chest and we go after people. You know, I think that's what makes us successful.
All right, tell me about this year's team. What do you think fans are going to see? And how do you think, if anyway, it'll be different than last year?
I think our offense is going to be really good. 1 through 9 is going to be unreal, and I think we're going to catch the ball, we're going to hit the ball, and we're going to pitch the ball. I think we're going to have a special year, I believe.
All right, scale of 1 to 10, how ready are you for opening day?
About a 12, 15, as much as I can be. I'm excited. I get chills thinking about it.
Well, we're all excited to watch you play. You're a great, great part of this program, man, and we wish you the best of luck. We'll be calling on you throughout the year.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Bob.
All right, Kelly, what's a kid like Colby Allen, had 10 wins as a reliever last year, if he's slid into this starting role, which some think he probably will be on the weekends, what mentally does he have to do?
I don't think anything different than what he just said, and I want to point out a couple of things. And I did not hear that interview. I listened to it the first time with everybody just like listening on the show today. But a couple of things jumped out at me. He knew how many decisions he was involved in. He knew how many games he had won. My point is, pitchers are different kind of cats when it comes to competing. They are all ego, and I'm not saying that in a bad sense. They really take it personally when things don't go well. And I heard one pitcher one time say, when he was having communications problems with his catcher, and after the ball game, he said to the catcher, "There is a winning pitcher and a losing pitcher. There is not a winning catcher and a losing catcher." So if we've got a problem, we better get it right. And the fact that these pitchers get out there, and that's why lots of times it's emotionally exhausting to pitch, why a lot of the starters only go once every 5 games or whatever, because it takes everything out of you. But the fact that he knows what his numbers are, he takes it personally when the numbers aren't where they're supposed to be, that's what you look for in a pitcher. They are, in my opinion, the toughest. Not that the other guys aren't tough, but the pitchers, to me, are especially tough.
I talk to a lot of these kids that play for Oz, they say that that he teaches them the mental aspect of the game is maybe the most important. Do you agree with that?
It's what I was just talking about. It emotionally exhausting. It's like we pick on college kids. Oh, you guys don't work well. Being in a classroom, the emotional exhaustion and mental exhaustion, that is work. It's a different form of work, but it is work, and it does take a lot out of you. And I, again, with this freshman class, these are not like other freshmen. These guys have been tested again through these travel ball tournaments and Perfect Game and Under Armour and all these different, you know, Baseball Factory. They've played in big-time games, so they might be freshmen in label, but mentally, they're beyond their years. Physically, they might have a little way to go yet, but mentally, they're ready to go, even though they're just freshmen.
Would you be surprised if I told you I watched 2 or 3 freshmen pitch Saturday, true freshmen pitching against their own teammates here, which is obviously a very good team, and held their own, brother? I mean, they look like that had not been their first time out on the mound against this caliber of hitters.
Well, nobody's going to feel sorry for you. Right, yeah. It's you against the world, and it's dog eat dog, and if you want that spot on the mound, you've got to pound the strike zone. You can't walk people, and you want that strikeout to walk ratio to be at least 3-1, you know, if not 4 or 5-1. That's what's going to get you the work. Don't take anything personally. The numbers don't lie. If you don't get it done, you're coming off the mound.
On the other side of the break, we're going to hear from another pitcher, and this is the pitcher with the most velocity. I'm going to give you a little preview, but one thing struck me is I asked him about his velo, and he was quick to talk about the other pitches that he's learning. That wasn't, you could tell, not what he wanted to talk about. He wanted to talk about other pitches that he's learned. We're going to hear from J.B. Middleton and then get Kelly's analysis of that conversation on the other side of the break.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back to the show. That segment was sponsored by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street, campusbookmart.net. This segment sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill. And Slade and those guys are really good friends of all of ours, and we always enjoy going down there. We think you will, too. Right there in the shadow of the rock, great food, great camaraderie, and great lunches Monday through Friday. Just a good place to hang out, 4th Street Bar and Grill. Mobe Beignet Company, that's the official beignet store of the Eagle Hour, 2902 Hardy Street. Morgan and her wonderful husband are huge Southern Miss baseball fans, big supporters of the program. And it is a great place for you to go enjoy a wonderful dessert. Don't forget about our podcast, Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle. We're going to continue our conversation about Southern Miss pitching. J.B. Middleton, the flamethrower on the team over the last couple of years. I'll never forget, I saw him his first appearance 2 years ago against Mississippi State in a midweek game, and he looked scared. He pitched scared. He got bombed. Fast forward a year later, he's on the mound against the best team in the country in Tennessee and more than holding his own. That's the development of J.B. Middleton under the tutelage of Christian Ostrander. Want to hear, let you hear what he had to say about his game and then get Kelly's thoughts. J.B. Middleton on the Super Talk Eagle Hour from Yazoo City, Mississippi. That's right, isn't it, J.B.?
That's right, sir.
Proud to be from Yazoo City.
Absolutely. Small town.
All right, a lot of expectations for you this year. Where do you see your role? Do you think you're going to be coming in as a reliever? But we hear some talk that you might be pushing to be one of the weekend starters.
You know, it's still undecided right now, but that's kind of what we've been working with. And so just going every day and having a certain plan to go by. And then when the season gets here, you know, time will tell. So,
JB, how do you think your game has changed and improved since you arrived at Southern Miss?
It's drastically improved, just learning and growing and being with everybody else out here and learning from them and the coaches. Just it's always something new every day to work on. And so, yeah, over these past few years, I've, the mental side and the physical has both grown.
What do you think you've learned the most from playing for Christian Ostrander?
You just got to be a warrior. It's always been a warfare. When you got there, he talks about that a lot and really big on that. So, you know, you just got to go compete and have a good mindset and just attack.
Now, your velo's always been extremely high. Have you developed more of a multitude of pitches? Have you changed in that approach, or are you still going to rely on that pushing 100-mile-an-hour fastball?
No, I mean, I'm always trying to work on my craft and my arsenal, and like I said, it's kind of what I do every day is trying to make each pitch better, and so just going what I got right now and trying to use it the best I can.
All right, where is that velo right now?
To be honest with you, I mean, about the same as it has, you know, maybe 95, 96. I don't really worry about that too much. Just throwing strikes is the biggest thing and trying to get hit, batters out.
Well, your buddy Colby tells me that he gave me this expression last year. If you're pitching for Coach Oz and you start throwing balls, bad things happen.
Exactly right. You know, we're supposed to come in there and do our job, and that starts with throwing strikes, and that always leads to good things. So,
now, I think 12 or 13 freshman pitchers on the team this year. Give us your observation of what you're seeing from these youngsters, and are they going to what degree do you think they'll be able to help the veterans like you?
I think they're going to play a big part in this year. They're all really talented and got really good stuff, and they've already shown that this past fall and this past few scrimmages this spring, so we're excited about it, and they'll definitely play a big role in this year.
All right. Talk to me about the baseball team overall, what you see and how you think it may differ from the team we saw last year.
I think we mesh really well. We started that early on, had really good team chemistry, and everybody wants to go out there and compete and try to take each other's position, and but we're all pulling for each other at the same time. So we got a really special group, and really excited to see what it's going to be like that first weekend we get out.
All right, do you have a preference as to whether it would be starting, closing, middle inning relief? And if so, what is the difference psychologically? How do you prepare yourself differently for those roles, JB?
I mean, Yeah, I mean, I want to start. It's kind of what I've been working on. Having my 7-day plan, and you know, you kind of get that week to prepare yourself to be as, you know, be ready to go whatever day of the weekend it is. And so it's, you know, it's my responsibility to have myself ready to go then.
All right, tough opening month at TCU. 3 games against Louisiana Tech, I believe. 2 games, I believe, against Mississippi State. But every player that I've talked to so far, I'll say you guys embrace that.
Yeah, absolutely. We run to the fire. Coach Oz also says that a lot, run to the fire. And so we're not really scared of anybody. You know, we do the little things right and do the things we're supposed to. You know, good things will happen. And so, yeah, we're excited about it.
I know from a fan perspective, a guy that covers the baseball team, I feel like this team can compete with any team in the country. I'm going to believe that when you guys take the field, it doesn't really matter to you who you're playing. You feel like you can win the game.
Absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head right there. It doesn't really matter who you play. You know, you got to play your game before you do anything. So.
All right. Been a long time since you came here from Yazoo City. What's the journey been like for you, JB?
It's been great. Just blessed to be here. There's no better place to play ball at. Great fans, great atmosphere, coaches. I mean, just the whole nine yards. It's been awesome. You know, coming from a small school and being taken in by these guys, it's really been exciting, and I love it here.
All right, so can we make a pact before you start that first game in Omaha? Can we interview you just like we're doing now?
Absolutely.
We're glad to have you here, young man. Best of luck to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, Kelly, this is a kid that can throw upper 90s, but and that's what's sexy, I get it, but you got to be able to get movement on the ball, correct?
Because the fact of the matter is, Bob, even if you're throwing 97 or 98, guys at this level, they can hit that fastball. Mm-hmm. You know, if it comes in there flat, they're going to hammer it, all right? So you have to have a little bit of movement, you know, ideally, on a fastball, but you have to be able to throw the other pitches for strikes, because smart pitchers and hitters are also smart enough to know that if you don't have control, they're not swinging. They have to see from the pitcher that you have command of all of your pitches, and if you have to rely on your fastball, especially if it's not moving very well that day, you're in for a long afternoon, because these guys can smack fastballs.
All right, your son is the pitching coach at the number 2 ranked junior college in the country. We know what Oz's philosophy is that job number 1 is you better throw strikes. You better not be walking people or you're not going to be on the mound. Does that translate to every level of college baseball?
It's not the walks that'll kill you. It's the hits behind the walks.
And it almost always happens, doesn't it?
And 2-out focus. First pitch focus and 2-out focus. What I mean by that is the first pitch, You more than ever want to make that a strike, because then, you know, you already have to have 3 strikes, right? 4 balls. So if you throw the first pitch a strike, then you're down to a 2-strike-to-4 ball advantage, right? So first pitch focus, get the first pitch across the plate. You have much more command. When you look at batting averages from hitters on an 0-1 count as opposed to a 1-0 count, there's almost 20 points difference in batting averages from a guy that starts in the count 1-0 to a guy that starts out 0-1. Really important. And 2-out focus. How many times over the years have you heard guys say, and all this with 2 outs?
Oh, yeah.
You know, sometimes pitchers let their guard down a little bit with 2 outs, thinking, okay, well, we got 2 out of 3. Mm-hmm. Nothing bad can happen from here, or that we can't manage. That's when you open yourself up for big trouble. So 2 phrases we talk about: first pitch focus, 2-out focus. Make sure that those get done. And Middleton is kind of a unique dude, because he's not as tall as a lot of the other guys, but he's thick, particularly his trunk. You know, he's got big, big, strong legs. And when pitchers finally retire, it's not because their arm is shot usually, unless it's, you know, surgically, you know, malfunctioning. But it's because the legs give out. And you're not going to have to worry about Middleton's legs giving out, because, man, he is taking care of that.
And that's where velocity and strength comes from, right? It's not so much the arm as much as it is their lower body.
Correct. Being loose, you know, in the hips, not being real tight in the hips. And, you know, look at Cross Sively's legs. I mean,
we hear he has to get specially tailored pants to fit his thighs.
Because he's just, you know, if he gets pants that are big enough in the thighs, then he's got to get a piece of rope to tie because the waist is a lot bigger than it needs to be. It's a good problem to have, I guess. But if you're a pitcher, your legs are every bit as important as your arm.
We'll get him on the show soon, but I also hear Cross Sively is quite a gymnast.
Yeah, he's just a great athlete overall. I mean, the guy can, on command, do a standing backflip. You know what? He's just an amazing athlete.
I can do that.
Oh, really?
Flip straight to my back.
Yeah, well, let me get to AAA Ambulance on the phone first.
Correct. Traction the whole nine yards. Right. I will be back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, DBAT sponsors this segment of our show. DBAT on Hardy Street, softball, baseball training, state of the art, beautiful, beautiful facility down there. If you've got some children in your family that are going to be playing baseball or softball this summer, now is the time. Contact Luke Reynolds at DBAT. Tell him his buddies at the Eagle Hour sent you. Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of our great program, or their great dealership of our program. Visit our new, their all-new Genesis showroom, Highway 98 West, Hattiesburg. A couple quick notes before Kelly wraps things up. He will be out at Reed Green this afternoon, going to be doing an interview with a young lady that he and I just both think the world of, Malia Grayson. We really look forward to bring you that interview later this week. Just a great basketball player and a great young lady, Malia Grayson, kind of sets the standard, in my view, of the type of athletes that we want at Southern Miss. And we're happy to make an announcement right now, Kelly Sanner. Starting tomorrow, we will have a new member of our staff here. A new co-host will be joining us. As many of you know, Dima Mixon moved on. Our good friend Luke Johnson is soon to be Dr. Luke Johnson. And so he's off in graduate school. Andrew Abbotty, the very talented sports writer for Pine Belt News, will be joining the Eagle Hour staff tomorrow as a co-host on our show. He'll be with us every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday moving forward. We think Andrew's a very talented writer, very talented young sports reporter. Will bring that generation's perspective to our show. And I know you joined me, Kelly, and we look forward to working on a daily basis with Andrew.
Yeah, he's a super dude, and I do like the fact, and we're very cognizant of the fact, Bob and I, that we're older, right? And that there's a lot of alums and sports fans of Southern Miss that are younger, and we know that younger perspective is important. So right. I think it's great that Andrew is going to join us. A couple of news and notes, Bob. We're talking about Southern Miss baseball. Well, Coach Ostrander's got another verbal commit for next year. 6'4", 195-pound left-handed pitcher out of Mason, Ohio, named Andrew Visconti. Visconti led Mason to its first ever state high school baseball championship this past season. Struck out 21 batters in 10 and a third innings. That's pretty good. Pretty good numbers there. And again, left-handers are very difficult to come by. So welcome Andrew Visconti. He'll be in the fold next year, the 26th season for Southern Miss. And we talked about the great success that the track and field team had over the weekend in Nashville or Birmingham. Zane Palomino, we mentioned, won the high jump for the men. Listen to all the other first place finishes. These are first place finishes for Southern Miss. In the women's 400, Addison McLaurin won that event. The 60 meters, Trinity Benson came out on top. The 400 meter hurdles, Addison McLaurin, again, the 60 meter hurdles. Sierra Edwards actually finished second. The 200 meters, Talia Lindsay won that event. The high jump, Alana Simon, who was on this program last week, she finished first. In the long jump, Sydney Allen. In the triple jump, Zaisha Frazier. Those are all on the women's side. On the men's side, first place finishes in the 60 meters go to Gracious Ushi. We mentioned that Zane Palomino won the high jump. DeAndre Ward won the long jump. In all, that is 9 Southern Miss Eagles that finished first in last week's track and field event. Indoors.
We said it last week. I'll say it again. The most underappreciated program in the athletic department, most underappreciated coach. I'm not saying the athletic department doesn't appreciate them, but
right.
Just from a perspective of people that follow different sports, follow that track and field team at Southern Miss. They're excellent, Kelly. Excellent.
And they have been. But that's where coaching consistency, you know, comes in as well. Coach Stewart's been there, you know, a while.
Right.
We talk about coaching consistency and how it's important. And really, when you look at Southern Miss, the baseball team and the track and field team have been the most consistent performers over the past, you know, 3 or 4 seasons. So later on in the week, we're going to have a Super Bowl preview for you with a special guest on Friday.
We actually heard from him today.
We did.
In his own unique way.
Can we say who it is?
Yeah, go ahead.
Baltimore Ravens offensive coordinator Todd Monken, who has re-upped with the Ravens. We will get his perspective and see if...
Still ain't shy.
No, he's not. And we'll get his perspective on whether the league is rigged toward the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
And that'll be later on. Of course, this weekend, the Lady Eagle softball team begins the season on February 7th. Oh. Then, of course, a week from Friday, the opener at Southern Miss Baseball, we will have a 2-hour edition of the Eagle Hour out at Pete Taylor Park.
And then the Friday before the Louisiana Tech series, we go to our very, very favorite hangout spot, Fuzzy's Tacos, to do the show there. Real quickly, did you want to share with our listeners? Coach confirmed the interview in my office earlier today. Coach Monken, did you want to relay how he confirmed that he will be on the show?
The Federal Communications Commission's will not allow me to repeat exactly what he said, but the first initial in FCC might have been in the conversation.
Could have been. He's quite a character.
Yeah, and he'll tell you where he stands. Hey, real quick, Bob, the NBA is contemplating, because we've talked about how basketball is getting to be nothing but a three-point shooting contest, the NBA may contemplate if somebody is fouled in the act of shooting a three-point shot, limit free throws to 2 instead of 3.
I like that. They're exciting, I understand, but I'd like to see the three-point shot reined in both professionally and collegiately just a little bit.
I would as well. I don't know how you do that, but
I don't either.
But I would as well.
I can have ideas, just no solutions.
We're going to be talking to the radio voice of App State tomorrow on the program, and you're going to meet a Southern Miss student who just won $3,000.
He's rich.
Yeah.
Southern Miss.
To the top.
Like an eagle to the sea.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.